Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Wave Break podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the growth marketing platform most recommended by other business leaders. Listen, in uncertain times, you need to be supporting your community and growing relationships with your customers. It's going to be appreciated. It's going to be remembered. It's going to be shared. And in good times and bad, this type of communication that's open and empathetic with your customers is key. This is a key theme that we've been talking about at Wavebreak. I've been preaching this on the podcast. And when you're communicating with your customers in this way, the best way to do this is with email. It is and always will be one of the best channels for delivering communication like this. And what I love about Klaviyo is that email is one of its core offerings. And their personalization that you can do inside Klaviyo is just, it can't be beat. And when you leverage that personalization driven by a 360 degree view of the customer, these emails are going to feel more relevant and they're going to drive even stronger relationships. And Klaviyo gets it. They're not just, you know, some company. They understand how challenging it is right now for every entrepreneur. You know, it was hard to get your business off the ground, and navigating these times is even harder. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with growing your business, know that you're not alone. Klaviyo is here to help you build relationships across any distance for your brand and create memorable and meaningful email marketing moments that last a lifetime. And that's how you build a successful e-commerce brand. And this is why I love Klaviyo so much, because they're on the same page with me and Wavebreak. Is like, we're not just about making more revenue. That's great. But what this is really about is an opportunity to create an amazing community with your customers. And the best way to do it is with email. And if you're not on Klaviyo, you gotta get on Klaviyo. Visit klaviyo.com to schedule a free trial. That's Klaviyo.com. You're listening to the Wavebreak podcast, the show where I interview the people behind the fastest growing e-commerce and direct-to-consumer brands. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder and CEO at Wavebreak. Wavebreak is the email and CRM agency for high-growth D2C brands. With ad costs rising, we help brands maximize lifetime value by building and optimizing world-class email and SMS marketing programs. You can learn more about partnering with us at wavebreak.com. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast. Super excited for this one. Today, I'm joined by Hector Gutierrez, CEO of Joy. Really excited to dive into your thoughts on products, your thoughts on marketing, your thoughts on growing a consumer brand in today's day and age. But before we get into that, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely, Dylan. Thanks for allowing me to be here for the opportunity.
Yeah, happy to have you, and excited to dive in. Before we dive into the business side of things, give us the overview. Like, what's Joy? How'd it come about? How'd you get into this? And the typical origin story. What does that look like?
Sure. So Joy stands for just one ingredient, and we make plant-based concentrates. And what that means is we feel like we've developed a new product category that allows our consumers to experiment with new ways of not only making plant milk, but use these products to make a whole wide array of different plant-based foods. So anything from ice cream, plant-based sauces, dressings, people are using our products as kind of their go-to pantry staple. So, this came about many years ago, or 5 or 6 years ago, actually, before we incorporated, before we even launched a single product, as a design school thesis. So my three co-founders who started the business, Dave, Izzy, and Tony, got together and said, we're really interested in a couple of different things. Dave was really interested. He just learned that he was lactose intolerant and wanted to figure out a way to supplement the milk experience in his life. He wasn't really, he's from Wisconsin, so he really wanted to explore new ways of consuming milk products that weren't dairy-based. So he was interested in that. Tony was interested in, creating more vegan products. He had just become vegan, so he was exploring, okay, this is a vegan lifestyle. How can I develop new products that fit my lifestyle? And Izzy was really adamant about eliminating plastic waste and just really curious about waste mitigation practices in general. So they came together and came up with a solution, which actually first was a machine. So think an espresso countertop machine that you put almonds into and you get almond milk out. That was the first iteration of kind of the design thinking. How can we have a waste-free solution that produces great quality plant milk? But you know, quickly they realized manufacturing equipment is a pain in the butt. No one really likes it. It didn't really get them excited to get out of bed every day to make something that delivered on that promise. So they found that actually through the process of designing that piece of equipment, that they had invented a new food product, which we call our base today, an early iteration of that. So we worked with food scientists. We developed kind of early samples of our products. And then actually, I came on a little bit later after that, but we hit the ground running with going to food service operators. So cafes, juice shops as kind of our beta testers saying, hey, this is the food, this food product. It's a shelf staple almond that's been broken down in a paste-like format that you can use to make smoothies, milk, so on and so forth. So we gave it to these guys. They all loved it. They all were making milk with it. We were getting coffee shops activated, smoothie shops activated left and right. This was in 2018. And they were telling us, hey, this is great for coffee. This is great for smoothies, but I'd love to also use this at home. And I'd love to use it for a wide array of different plant-based recipes. So making breads, like I mentioned before, making sauces, making dressings. And that's where we decided, let's make a brand around this that we called Joy, Just One Ingredient, because it had no binders, no stabilizers, no nothing in it, or preservatives. Let's go to direct-to-consumer with this. And we launched that in April 2019. And ever since then, we've been growing our food service channels and our direct-to-consumer channels. And that's been really exciting because people are using it in ways that we're learning from.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like when those initial, you know, like cafes and coffee shops or whatever were using it, like, were they marketing as like, this is like not real milk? Or is it more like you just order like, you know, an almond version of a drink and they just used it on the back end? Or like, what was that like initially?
Yeah, so we actually were called before Joy. We went under the name Not a Milk Company. And I think that like kind of delivered on the premise of being a kind of a milk, an alternative milk substitute. But we found that people wanted to use it for kind of a lot of different things. So we realized it was a Swiss Army knife, if you will. So we wanted to rebrand in a name that conveyed more versatility of the product. And that's why we felt Joy was, you know, invoking of an emotion that we felt this product can invoke in our users, but also gave it flexibility in terms of the application that users were applying towards it. So it's always been kind of a back and forth. We put something out there into the market. We heard what our users were doing with the products, and we kind of evolved, digested that information and kind of positioned ourselves to make sense out of that. But yeah, I mean, people first resonated with milk, and that continues to be the primary use case. But we constantly are learning from that base and saying, you know, let's see how far we can go in this specific food category or another.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so like you have this initial product, you're starting to roll it out direct to consumer. Is that around 2019 or that's a little bit after that?
Yeah. So we, you know, from September 2018 to April 2019, we were just food service. 2019, we launched direct to consumer on our website and we continued growing our food service channel. And since then, we've just continued to grow both of those. And online, that comes into, you know, we're on Thrive Market, we're on Amazon. We've continued to grow on our own platform. And really, you know, not only about growing what it looks like as a digital brand, but also, you know, what kind of products are we offering that are still within that same ethos, which to us is clean label and sustainability. Like that's the core of what Joy is about. They're clean label, whole food products, but very sustainably oriented. And those two things really are a challenge when it comes to developing new products and kind of breaking new ground there, but we're really adamant and focused and excited about what we've been doing on that front.
Yeah, that's great. And so on the growth side, did you initially launch into Amazon then when you're like, oh, we want to go like direct to consumer? You know, Amazon's not technically direct to consumer, but I guess you could call it like the consumer side when you're previously going to the service side, like you said. Were you like, oh, we got to be on Amazon from the get-go? Or was it, oh, let's start with our own website, let's get the .com going? Or like, what was that like? Because I know now, like you mentioned, you have a presence on multiple marketplaces plus your own .com. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I mean, it really stems from like us wanting to be accessible as we possibly can, but understand who our customer is. And the way that we feel that we do that best is by making our product available through partners in partnerships with other retailers or other brands and creating access online with our product, because online gives us insight into who's buying our product. Now, people say Amazon's a bit of a black box. Sure, that's the case. But early on, we said, okay, we have our online website, but what's the biggest product search engine in the world? It's Amazon. You could search for interest-based stuff on Google super easily, but that requires SEO ranking. That requires, you know, a really strong domain. And to do that doesn't happen overnight. But what does happen overnight is you launch on Amazon and people are searching for like products right away. And we wanted to fit that, mold, because we knew people weren't going to be searching for almond milk concentrate in the volumes that we felt this product deserves. But on Amazon, you're going to get like products that we can start targeting in terms of keywords that allow this product to be positioned and elevated and grow. And we did that early in 2019, and it was rapid success. I mean, we sold out, I think, in 3 or 4 days with our first FBA fulfillment. We started FBM, then we went to FBA. But we've been growing and just trying to keep up with Amazon because it's a beast. And it's great for us from a consumer acquisition standpoint. We think, you know, if you're searching for like products, then we acquire the customer. Now they're bought into the Joy ecosystem, and we can do a really great job of making sure that they're a lifelong customer. So Amazon's been really supportive in that way, in terms of, you know, the platform they built and our ability to reach new customers.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask. Like, when it comes to acquiring new customers, are there a lot of people, obviously people who have, who might be lactose intolerant, or like the people who are going dairy free these days are probably searching out something like this more specifically, but what does it look like from a marketing perspective, where you kind of have to kill two birds with one stone, so to speak? Like, you got to market your product, but then you also have to market, like, it's not something that people are necessarily actively searching out, at least not in 2019. I'm sure more and more people are looking for it today. But what has that been like on the marketing side?
Yeah, I mean, every day we're asking ourselves, what is a more personalized customer journey look like? And I don't think that's any different. It's just the platform might be different in terms of navigating like the different tools that Amazon offers. But in terms of like what we're setting to accomplish, we're just asking ourselves, who is this user there? What do they want to see? How can we present this in the most user-friendly way? And that's just part of the conversation. And Amazon is squarely fits within that. And fortunately, there are tools that allow us to continue to expand on that. So, you know, we've begun doing stuff off Amazon to drive traffic to Amazon, for example, like Google search campaigns that allow traffic, if you're searching for lifestyle, to then flow back into Amazon, which has been an exciting opportunity for us. But really, the name of the game is ensuring that you have great reviews there, that you're taking care of the customer there, that you're delivering on the expectations in terms of shipping and product quality. And then Amazon does the rest itself. Obviously, we do, you know, sponsor keyword stuff, but at the end of the day, like, the bread and butter is just delivering a great experience and making sure that your ranking's climbing.
Yeah. And so how do you do that on Amazon? Because I think that's one of the biggest, like, you know, like, brands who aren't on Amazon yet, or, you know, the typical, like Amazon, like, you know, it's kind of like the evil, like, in a lot of people's mind in the direct consumer world, it's like this, like, the evil behemoth. How do you, and a lot of the reason for that is people are like, oh, you can't personalize, you don't own a relationship. But what you're saying is, like, you found success on Amazon by actually cultivating relationships and being personal. How are you able to do that on Amazon?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways that people are constantly exploring. And again, I think I think there's a lot of interesting things that you could do is, you know, kind of getting the customer back into a situation where they're coming into the brand, and then providing more details about themselves, incorporating either flyers into the box or directly to their home after purchasing the product as a way of remarketing and retargeting the customer to do a further, to do another, you know, second and third purchase, getting them on subscription for your product. To match the pricing that we offer on our website, which is another key component, because Amazon subscribers, enjoy that service. So ensuring that you're offering that, and then, you know, making sure that your product packaging is great, where they can go receive the product and learn more about it. That's probably the most efficient way. You know, there's things that are on our radar for perhaps next year, where we're incorporating a QR code either on the box or directly onto the packaging to kind of take that customer experience to the next level. It's constantly evolving depending on how far you want to go on in terms of the cost initially, or in terms of that experience that you want to provide.
Yeah, for sure. And then talk about pushing people into subscription. Like, how do you do that on Amazon? Like, what control do you have? Or like, what are some things you do to try to incentivize that? Or it's mostly through pricing, like you mentioned.
Yeah. So if you can, once your product has reached a certain velocity, Amazon will enable the ability to offer a discount to get on subscribe and save. So early on, we've just always matched that to what we offer elsewhere. And then through A plus content, you know, we try to highlight the fact that this is a recurring product and that you're essentially ditching, cartoned milk. So why have to worry about your replenishment of cartoned milk when you can just have it on kind of autopilot? So it's a little bit of just, you know, upfront communication about it, and then let Amazon do its bit with the with some of their retargeting services that they have internally.
Yeah, that's great. I don't think enough people do the simple act of just like, hey, it makes sense to have this on a subscription. Like, they just kind of like just assume like people want to subscribe. And I think that's like really underrated and overlooked, even though it's such a simple thing to do. Tell me about on the website, like, or I guess like what's, before we get into that, what's the breakdown? Like, are the majority of your sales currently Amazon, and then the next is your website, and then it's service? Or like, what's the kind of rough breakdown currently?
Yeah. So the bulk is our website. We focus on growing that because we feel that it's important that the best level of communication around our product is done on our website. So we'll drive that education through, you know, social media marketing to make that come to life. And then from that, it's really a good split Amazon to, then it's Amazon as our online sales. Then it's Thrive Market. And then another big chunk of our business is food service. So food service and online sales comprises roughly 40-60%. Food service being 40%, 60%. Online sales. And then of online sales, we get a breakdown between Amazon and, you know, some of these other partners that we have our product on.
Oh, nice. And cool. So tell me about the .com. I know like mostly it seems like the initial goal, speaking of subscription, is to drive people into subscription. Is that something you're also intentional about on your website? I don't even know. Is there a way to order a single product, or can you only subscribe?
So you can order a single product. I mean, we definitely have begun incentivizing subscription. What I will say is that from the beginning, because we felt this was a new product category and a new product that, you know, people needed to wrap their heads around, and we were still familiarizing ourselves with ways to communicate what the product was, we went first, not a heavy push on subscription, just single products to kind of get the ticket price down so that people have, you know, low barrier to entry to buy the product. You're not fighting for so much a share of the wallet. So after a year or two of doing that, we've transitioned to something that we feel is a more scalable model for the business, which is a heavy focus on subscription. But we still offer, you know, for those people who are either trepidatious about making the switch or haven't found enough information online about us to really understand what the product offer is, then we'll allow them to, you know, buy a single container of our product. We want people to be enrolled in what we're offering and really be part of this idea that, you know, you don't have to be consuming product in a Tetra Pak anymore. You can live a more sustainable, additive-free life. Our products offer that, and we really want to incentivize that by, you know, giving you a great deal on a subscription program.
Yeah, that's great. I noticed one way you incentivize even a better deal is instead of like subscribing to a single pack every so many weeks, you can also subscribe to a 2-pack every few weeks. Like, how's it been since, like, is that something you offered from the beginning or did you add that recently?
Yeah, our customers actually wanted that. And
the no way.
Customers wanted to get to it goes hand in hand with our kind of statement here, right? Which is, mm-hmm. We want to be more sustainable. So we were plastic before we moved to glass. A lot of brands do the opposite. They go from glass to plastic. And then when you think about, you know, efficiencies in terms of shipping, it's much more efficient for you to receive a 4-pack of Joy every 2 months than receive a 1-pack of Joy every month or the alternative of 2-packs, so on and so forth. So we wanted to make sure that you're benefiting from, you know, reducing your carbon footprint just on the shipping side as well. And buying larger quantities of the product and having it for a longer time, because it is a shelf-stable product, allows you to take control over that purchasing habit and make an impact in a way that's, you know, very, you know, I don't think a lot of people think about that all the time. when they're, you know, buying on Amazon is so easy, and you all of a sudden you have cardboard boxes stocked up in your garage because you can't house them, you can't house them everywhere, or in a bedroom if you're living in the city. So it's a challenge in that regard. And we wanted to give people the option to, like, okay, if you're going to buy in bulk, if you have a large family, you know, buy in bulk and benefit from that and be part of this process of not only saving the planet, but saving your wallet as well.
Yeah. And I think it just makes sense too. Like, but it's like something that's sort of, you know, the same with like asking people to subscribe. Like, it's really simple that it's like often overlooked. Like, we'd rather run like some complex A/B test on marketing instead of like, hey, what if we just got people to order like twice as much and we filled the rest of the box that we normally just put, like, you know, packing sheets in anyway, then we wouldn't have to use the packing sheets and like sell it. And it, like, it makes sense. There's probably, plus, you know, the idea of shipping in general, like the price, and like, even as a consumer, you know, in general, because consumers are smart. If they're ordering from a .com, they know they're going to have to pay the shipping, or there's going to be a minimum or something. Like, it's not always Amazon. It's usually a surprise whenever a D2C site has a similar model to Amazon as far as shipping goes. So I think that's a really smart way, and a good test for anybody else in subscription with a different product is like, hey, could you just get people to subscribe to greater quantities, potentially at a lower interval? But even in today's marketplace, like, if you're, you know, if you need to get to cash flow faster, like, you can get to 3 months of subscription on that first month. Sure, they might not be renewing as often, but like, that's really good in terms of acquiring a customer, you know, on your cash flow and your numbers there. Have you seen that too? Like, since implementing the additional packs, like, it's easier to acquire customers? Or like, let's talk a little bit about that, because I know it's getting more and more difficult, you know, since 2019 to acquire customers. How has that been?
Yeah, it has been. I wish we started in 2015 or 2017.
I know, right? The glory days of Facebook ads.
The glory days are over. Everyone was holding their breath for a couple of months, and now it's official. There's a flag, it's planted, it's death to the glory days. So it has been, it's been interesting. We're learning about it all the time. We're learning about how to create efficiencies, how to look at attribution, how to make sense of this customer experience and journey. So, you know, for us, it's still the same gameplay. It's just upping the ante in terms of making sure you have amazing content, that you're doing an amazing job from a marketing standpoint, that you're conveying your product in a really smart way. It's not as, I don't think, as scrappy as you could be in the past in terms of the content that you're producing. It really needs to be really thoughtful. And we're fortunate that we're on Amazon, because the CPAs on Amazon are really efficient there. So acquiring on Amazon makes a lot of sense for us, and getting exposure to the brand is the name of the game. So, you know, Facebook has put a dent in that. But yeah, we have not only our packs that we sell on the website, but we partner with other brands we think are doing a great job in our marketplace.
So yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that helps increase AOV for us as well. So we're constantly chipping away at creating a more experiential service, so that we're benefiting from it in terms of the average cart increasing, but also our customers getting a more complete experience. And to the point that you made earlier, it's like, now we're offering something more that feels more like an Amazon experience, where you're buying products that, you know, you're getting discounted for increasing, you know, your check, you're getting a great speed of service, you're getting great quality customer service and shipping times, but you're also able to buy other products that fit the, you know, the shopping experience. So that holistically has made a lot of sense for us, and we'll continue to go down that path.
And now a quick break for a quick word from our sponsor, Okendo. Okendo is the new standard in customer reviews for high growth Shopify brands. We use them with our clients, and they work with over 4,000 of the fastest growing Shopify retailers like Skims, Nomad, and Buck Mason to help them leverage their most powerful asset, their customers. Okendo gives brands all the tools they need to capture and showcase customer generated content like product reviews and ratings, photos and videos, and Q&A. Plus, they have an awesome integration with Klaviyo that makes it easy to do cool stuff like send review request emails and target shoppers based on review content. And now that it's that time of year again, when Black Friday and Cyber Monday are top of mind, Okendo is offering a 90-day free trial to help e-commerce brands ramp holiday conversion without having to worry about increased subscription costs. If you sign up before October 31st, you pay nothing until 2022. It's really a no-brainer to me, and don't worry, you won't be forced into any expensive annual contracts after your trial is up. They offer super affordable monthly subscriptions starting at $29. So you can make the most out of this holiday season with a little help from Okendo.
Visit okendo.io and start your free trial today. That's okendo.io. Thanks, Okendo, for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, that's great. So tell me about the marketplace. How's that work exactly? So if I'm shopping on your.com, adjoy.com, that's joy with an I, and I see like there's different products in your marketplace, which come from other brands, right? So like I could add like cold brew or even like chips, or I see like Tenzo teas on here. How do these partnerships work? And like, how exactly does all that work?
I mean, first it's for us, it's a community building thing. So we thought like, okay, giveaways are boring online. So like, that's boring. It works to a certain extent, but it's boring. Like, how do we get more embedded? So we're always thinking like, what's the next evolution of that? So fundamentally, we look at joy as it's a base, like a foundational thing that you layer on top of. So when we think about it from that perspective as a product, you're like, okay, what use case does joy make sense for? Do you want a matcha latte? How can we work with the best matcha in the industry? Let's reach out to Tenzo. So now Steve has become a good friend, and we talk, you know, pretty often about everything CPG, and it's developing a relationship with this brand now that his products are sold on my website. He gets a commission from those sales. He fulfills the order. I just get to present my customers who enjoy my product with an opportunity to get exposed to a brand that I know is well-crafted, well-curated, very intentional about their operations and can deliver on that expectation. So we do that and multiply it out. Best-in-class brands for each different category that we want to work with that we think fit within that orbit of joy. What could be orbiting joy from, you know, Pulp Pantry does amazing upcycled chips that, you know, you want to make a nacho, a dairy-free nacho cheese dip, you can use joy to do so, and you can have it with your Pulp Pantry chips. You want to have a coffee latte? Then great, you can go to Explorer Coffee. You want to blend it all up? Great, you buy a blend jet. So we're always thinking about, you know, how can we, you know, you make this holistic experience awesome for the customer? We think, how do we get great brands on here that we vet, that we speak to, that we have a relationship with, that can be part of this experience for our customer?
Yeah, that's awesome. And how's that work? Like on the back end then, like their product is in your like Shopify store, or it's integrated through another app, or how does that work exactly?
Oh man, I can't tell you. That's the secret sauce. But no, I'm kidding. What I can't say is it's a great app called Caro and Get Caro, and Shopify's enabled it. So
right,
the Shopify information just passes on to the brand, and the brand fulfills it as if it was an order that they received on their own website. And then for us, that's been, you know, such a great hack around drop shipping. Typically requires like the brand emailing the other brand and say, hey, you fulfill this. This is no passing off of information. It's totally automatic.
Yeah, that's great. And then do you get the same benefit on like your partners? Like, are they promoting you as well on their end?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I leave that up to them on a case by case basis, but many of them do. It requires you building out your site so that you position it in a way that makes sense. But you know, it's been part of our kind of logic to kind of create a better experience for our customers. So we've put more attention to that than I think most brands have.
Yeah, that's great. And it also like helps establish like as an up and coming brand, like if they're not 100% familiar with you and you put yourself like, hey, we're in this category. It also helps like the consumer position in the marketplace too.
Yeah, you're leveraging brand equity across the board.
Yeah. So tell me too, like, obviously, you know, I look at this, I think, oh, this is a great, you know, I guess shifting perspectives into like future, like this is a great product to be in like Whole Foods or something like that. Like, is that on the radar, or are you still focused on like, hey, let's keep growing the direct consumer, the digital presence before we start to go into retail? Are you already in retail outside of the service, you know, side of the business, or what does that look like?
Totally. So we think about retail, we experiment with retail. We don't push retail.
Okay.
We're not actively like knocking on buyers' doors. And when buyers come to us, depending on the size, we like small buyers better than like, you know, the Whole Foods and the Sprouts of the world. Not that we don't want to be part of that environment. We do, but a couple of different things have happened. Like, we wanted to focus on online. That's where, you know, our core strengths are right now. We've built a team around that. That's where we want to dial in. iOS hasn't made it easier to do that. So we continually want to get smart to deliver on expectations there. And then, you know, COVID obviously accelerated us as an online brand. So that was super beneficial. So back to the question, like a lot of buyers weren't even bringing on product, new products into their stores. They were just focusing on ensuring that they had proper inventory of the products that moved. So all of that, you know, came into fruition. We're like, let's just focus in our lane. Let's keep doing a great job on what we're doing, and you know, everything else will come. So yes, retail is on the map. Retail is something we want to deliver on because, again, we want to go back and say, how can we create access to our product? It's online and offline. Like that's the name of the game. And we want to make sure that people everywhere can have access to it and buy it. And for us, we're thinking very intentionally about that. And what that means is online growth and our ability to be efficient online will help accelerate our success in retail because we'll have brand awareness, because we won't need to spend so aggressively in field marketing campaigns. Not that we won't, but we really think that, you know, continuing to create brand awareness online, when someone browsing the store, you know, for the first time a product hits the shelves, at least we'll have a higher probability of that consumer having awareness about our product than going in cold without any, you know, marketing behind it in the online experience. And I think CPG brands who are traditionally physical in nature and being a native brand on the shelves are thinking about online too. And for us, we just did it in a way that we felt online success was more efficient. Retail will come.
Yeah. And I think that makes sense. It's like you try to do a million things at once, like that doesn't work. But if you're just heads down, you focus on a great product, growing it digitally, and you already have the demand, it's going to make retail so much easier. Because otherwise it's just like, you know, you have that owned firepower to begin with of like, you know, you'll have your list, you'll be able to target those people based on where they live. So you can do the push as you do the launch. It's just like so much easier. And I think there's like no rush. Because eventually you'll look back and like everyone look at Joy and be like, wow, what a breakout product. Like once like everyone knows it's on the shelf or where it's replaced milk or something, like what they don't see was like, you know, all the story up to 2019, the 2019 to now and all that, exactly. Which like those first few years that are slow always just get glossed over. Cause like even looking at, you know, the Manscaped SPAC coming out, it's like, wow, they grew so fast. But if you look at the first year, a couple of years, it's like, not as great as you would think, but then you keep doubling for a while from like 50 to 100 to 200 million, then to like 400 million. Like, yeah, that's really fast growth, but it's like those first, you know, the early days.
You gotta create velocities. It becomes a flywheel effect, like you're saying, for sure. And like, you know, we learn from our customers. We just rebranded, I would say a brand refresh now. And yeah, we felt that it was important to do it earlier than later because having inventory in our own fulfillment operations to replenish that or swap it out is much easier than if we were to do it on the shelves. The substitution of new product on the shelves is that can be a very costly endeavor. New buyers might only want the new product instead of the old product. So we have the control now. We really wanted to focus on what does a refreshed brand look like in a way that allows it to convey the messaging and pop on the shelves and execute on that before we're even on the shelves.
That's smart. Yeah. I recently did a podcast with a guy who he just like went for it the other way. Like instead of like, oh, we're going to grow like direct consumer first, like Sterling Jones, who is the co-founder of JoJo's Chocolate. But like when he first launched into retail, you should go back and listen to the episode. It's a good one. But like he printed barcode labels that were too small for grocery clerks to scan. So like he went in to buy his own product and the lady's like, who even made this stupid thing? Like it won't even scan. And he's like, yeah, I wonder who made that. And there's like 200 of them on the shelf. You had to like sneak in overnight and fix them. But
labeling is a thing. Like packaging
is so true.
Right, it's so hard. You look at it every day and you have people look at it and you can make the easiest mistake and it'll cost you dollars. So I hear the pain for sure.
Yeah, no, but I think what you're doing is smart. It's like you're not going slow, but you're going smart, and that's the way to do it. As we start to run out of time here, like you know, think of anybody who's like, I don't know, if you were looking back over, you know, to like 2019 version of yourself, like any thoughts or like words of advice? Like now you've been through a pandemic, you've scaled the company not just on Amazon but on the .com, took it from service side to direct consumer, have a real growing, exciting customer base, you're launching new products, like. You know, any last kind of thoughts or words of advice that you want to end on?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about content. And I think we thought a lot about content, but not even enough and we're still, I'm not even in a place where I still think about content deeply enough. The content you put out there is makes huge difference, and it can be the determination of, you know, just a flywheel effect of organic growth, or, you know, a pay to play situation where you're really, you know, paying a lot of money to acquire customers. So, you know, thinking extremely deeply about content that's potentially disruptive, but communicative and educational, and really being creative around that is, it can really make or break a brand at an early stage. You know, I say that with, like, fortunately, we've had a lot of success from, you know, the operational standpoint, the product development standpoint. We took our time with that. We did it really smart from the standpoint of evolving slowly, which saved us a lot of heartache and headaches. But I think now, if I were to add anything to that, you know, the early stages, it would be, how can we just be badass at content? How can we take content to the next level from out the gates? And you see a lot of success stories with that. And I think that's something that, you know, only now are we thinking really, really deeply about. So, you know, that, and we live in an environment where people are consuming content all the time. Like, you're fighting for, you know, a few seconds of someone's time. So to be disruptive in the ability to catch someone's attention is huge, and has huge implications. So, you know, your ability to be successful there can really make or break, you know, your success.
Yeah. And so are you, and when you say content, like, you're talking like, you know, Facebook ad creative, and I guess like everything, right? Like your Amazon product page, your Facebook ad creative, the blog post on your website, is that everything you're talking about?
I'm talking about it all, and having a well thought out strategy for how you talk about it all. You really need to have like that true north from what you want to communicate from content, and be able to, you know, churn out ads as well as you could churn out, you know, a 3-minute long YouTube video or an amazing piece of a blog content that performs well in SEO. Like, it has to intertwine, it has to flow, and it has to make sense from what you're trying to do. And, you know, now Facebook changed to Meta. What does that mean for us? Do, you know, how many 3D animations do I need to have in my portfolio? What do NFTs look like? What does the metaverse look like for Joy? You know, I need to be asking these questions ahead of the game, because this happens quick and people make changes quick. TikTok didn't exist when we launched our brand, and we got onto TikTok, but probably late. Like, that's what content, understanding where your content is and how it lives and how it's communicating to the customer as part of that strategy, the content strategy, is huge, for specifically for an online CPG brand. And I would say for any CPG brand in general.
Yeah. And one thing I like that you said is, like, it has to come back to that true north too. Like, how do you make sure all the content across all channels, you know, even if eventually it's an NFT in the metaverse, like, how do you make sure everything wraps back into your brand's ethos?
Yeah. I don't know the answers to this. All I know is that we think about it, and we ask ourselves these questions. And I think for us, it's clean label. Is it clean label? Is it sustainable in terms of, is it messaging around clean label? Is it sustainable in terms of our ability to execute it, but is it sustainable in terms of the messaging as well? And then, is it fun? Is it emotive? Is it light? Is it joyful? Is it never negative? And we never want it to be something that is a subtractive experience. We want it to be an additive experience, literally and figuratively. We want you to learn from it, or we want you to smile from it. And so that, those are kind of, you know, really top line. How do we think about it? And then, you know, purposefully content for different channels and how we curate that comes down to just the team you build and making sense of it and listening to your customers and making sure that it fits the channel that you're sharing it on.
Yeah, I think that's great. And like you said, like, throughout the interview, like in the iOS 14, like post glory days, like, you really need to take that extra step to really make sure your content is great. And then also make sure it's integrated and you're communicating the right message, because you have a viral piece, but if it doesn't really match the brand or bring people back into that world or what it's about, what's the point in that? Yeah. So yeah, even though you're still,
they are smart.
They're getting way too smart. like, even David Ogilvy was like, yeah, consumers are smart. It's like, they're even smarter now because they can Google anything. So they know if your company's public, they know what the stock is valued at, as you know, with Robinhood and everything. So,
we had a shady, you know, not shady, but an investor that didn't have a great background, and you know, it hurt them. So we want to be mindful of it all. You have to be mindful of it all.
Yeah. Who is that? Who'd you send? I was talking over you when you said that.
Oatly had, a group of shareholders. So, you know, it's at the end of the day, like people are going to do their research because of an investor who invested in it. You know, we, one of our core tenets is radical transparency. Like who's part of the brand? Why are we doing it? Because we can't assume that someone's not going to find out something. There's no shady business anymore. You can't do shady business and think you're going to be around. Like, you need to do it right. You need to do it well. You need to do it thoughtfully. And sometimes that means it takes a while and it's a grind, but we need it. We started that way. Joy wants to, you know, from the standpoint of how we convey the brand and the identity of the brand, it needs to be in line, like clean label, clean company, with clean
people. Sure. And if you're not clean, it always comes back to bite you. Like you might see it, like it doesn't even matter. Like you see all these like 80-year-old like billionaires get busted all the time for like their whole life coming back to haunt them, whatever it is. So yeah, totally agree with that point. I mean, like that's the whole other side is like the personality side of companies. Like people are like, oh, it's getting so hard with ads and everything. It's like, well, it's also getting hard with people. And like so many people aren't set up to really lead and like actually have empathy in this like the economy and the status you have now, like not just outside of marketing, like you need to be great with your people and be great with your leadership. And based on what you're saying, it sounds like you also integrate into that side of business too.
So, I mean, mindfulness is a big component. We want people to feel, I mean, again, we want people to be happy, but it's not just saying be happy and be grateful. It's like, you know, what can we be doing to allow people to take time with themselves, whether it be eating or, you know, the company that we're building, like working remotely now and being thoughtful about our employees and so that it conveys positivity in the communications that we have with our partners. So yeah, you got to think about it top down. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to think about everything today if you're starting your business. It just means down the line, you work towards hitting that or turning over that stone that wasn't turned and getting to that, and building it better every day.
Yeah, for sure. And then like really understanding the vision and the mission. And then as you go, you'll just build it into everything. And then it's not some daunting task. You're just like using that as your North Star the whole time. Well, hey, Hector, it's been great having you on. We've done a lot of talking about Joy and how you've run the company and built out the marketing. Where can we go see it all in action?
Yeah, www.addjoy.com. That's the great spot to do it. You could just search for Joy on Amazon. You can search for Joy on Google as well. And our Instagram page, @Joy as well. You can learn all about us and what we're up to and hope you do.
Yeah, and that's Joy with an I, J-O-I. We'll link it all up down in the show notes so you can just click it to make it easy and make sure you find it. Hector, it's been great having you on. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Dylan. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. If you're not subscribed on iTunes or Spotify, go hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you're not on our email list, go sign up at wavebreak.co/join. You'll join other e-commerce leaders at brands like Skims, Cartier, and Walmart, and thousands more, learning exactly what's working in e-commerce right now. You won't want to miss it. Sign up at wavebreak.co/join. It's free. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. I hope you have a wonderful day. We'll be right back.